Genesis chapter 15. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." And Abraham said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abraham said, "Behold, to me you have given no seed. Lo, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir." And he brought him forth abroad, and said, "Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if you be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall your seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said to him, "I am the Lord that brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it." And he said, "Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" And he said to him, "Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon." And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. Lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abraham, "Know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And you shall go to your fathers in peace, you shall be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come here again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." It came to pass that when the sun went down, it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, "Unto your seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaims, the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites." And I think I deserve a rest after all those names. The Lord bless the reading of his word to us this morning. It's an interesting chapter.
Yes.
Abraham hasn't got his new name yet. He's Abraham. He becomes Abraham, father of a multitude. And it says the word of the Lord came to him in the vision. We can get the word of the Lord in many ways. Abraham didn't have one of these. But the word of the Lord still came to him. And the Lord said to Abraham, and the Lord will say to us today, whatever your needs, whatever your problems, whatever the situations, whatever it is you're worrying about, the Lord says, "I am your shield."
Yes.
For all those that are his.
That's right.
There's that glorious protection of him. David says in the Psalms, and he mentions the shield again and again. He says in Psalm 3, "You are a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head." And in Psalm 10, he says, "The shield of your salvation. And the Lord is my strength and my shield." For God's people, and God wanted to make this clear to Abraham, that whatever the situations he would be called upon to go through, and God wants us to know this morning, wants you to know this morning, that whatever situations you go through, and we're not always guaranteed blessing after blessing after blessing as we count blessing, there are hard times as well. It's all part of the life of a believer. There are times of testing. There are times when we just have to look to the Lord. And the Lord says, "Don't fear. I am your shield."
That's right. Amen.
He will protect. He will keep.
Yes.
We praise his name. I am your shield. We live in a world where there are difficulties for the believer. There are oppositions. There are those who are against. There are those who are enemies. But the Lord says, "Don't worry. I am your shield. And as far as the final outcome is concerned, I am your exceeding great reward."
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
The Lord has great things for his people. And we can, with that assurance that God gives us, That wonderful assurance.
Yes.
Not only of protection, but a glorious outcome.
Amen.
A glorious reward. We can live lives that are of praise and glory to Him. God says, I am your exceeding great reward. Peter spoke about in his epistle God's promises.
Yes.
And he referred to them as exceeding great and precious
yes.
promises.
Amen.
For every situation, for every need, God has a promise for you to lead you through. Whatever the problem might be, whatever the difficulty might be, God has a word for you. God has a promise. He says, I'm your shield.
Yes.
I'm your exceeding great reward. You're going to come to a place of blessing. There might be difficulties. There might be hardships.
Yeah.
Endure them. Go through them.
Patience.
And you'll get the reward. You'll know the blessing of God. And by these promises, Paul Peter says, by these exceeding great and precious
yeah.
promises, he says, we are made partakers,
yeah.
sharers in the divine nature. What you couldn't be before you were saved,
yes.
you can be now. Partakers of the divine nature. And Abraham prayed to God about an heir, a son, an heir. He said, I'm childless. God brought Abraham and said, don't worry about the laws of inheritance. Those who are childless, it goes to somebody else in their household. No, he said, you're going to have an heir.
Yes.
You're going to have a son. One of your own sons will be.
Yes.
And he brought him out in that wonderful scene. He said, look at the stars. Look at the stars. Look in the heaven. How many are there? There are probably some brain boxes, some Brian Coxes of this world that will probably be able to say how many you can count on a good clear night. But it'll always be wrong. There's always more. There's always more. How many are there? They are countless, I tell you, they are countless. I don't think there are enough numbers to count them all. But he said, look at the stars. Can you number them? No, you can't. This is what your descendants are going to be. Your heir, your descendants. They're going to be like the stars of heaven in number. I mean, Abraham is an old man now. At the beginning of the story, he was 75. And now we're on chapter 15. And he's not getting any younger. And that son, of course, didn't come. The one that God promised him until he was 100 years old.
Right.
But God's promises are true. However hopeless it might seem to us, God's promises are sure and steadfast.
That's right. Amen.
Get a hold of God's promises from his word. Abraham got a hold of God's promises that he was making to him here. He says, you're going to have an heir. And your seed will be like those stars of heaven, their descendants. Today, there are millions of them. And spiritually, here
yeah.
we are today. Hallelujah. Well, Abraham was a bit like us. And I'm glad he's a bit like us. Because he's not so far up there that we can never be like him.
No, I love that.
No. Abraham wanted some assurance. You know, how shall I know? Verse 8. Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit this land that you're talking to me about? You're talking to me about an heir. And you're talking to me about the land that I'm in now, that I'm going to inherit it, and it's not mine. How can it be?
Yeah.
He says, how can I know? And so often that's what we want to know, isn't it? How can we know? How can we know that we're going to be safe with him in glory? How can we know that we're going to make it through?
Right.
Oh, just keep trusting the Lord. Put your faith and trust in him. He wanted a contract. God made a contract with him. This was a contract here, but it was a very unusual contract. Because in most contracts, it's between two parties, and both agree to certain things. In this contract, there's only one party to it, and it's God.
Yes.
Abraham was given a general anaesthetic, so he couldn't take part. And the Lord says to him, in verse 9, he says, take these animals, a heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years, a ram of 3 years, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And what was going to happen now was God was going to enter into a contract
yes.
with Abraham. They didn't have the contracts that we have these days. They didn't do much of the writing. But this was the contract. These animals were divided, and the birds were put there as well, the pigeon and the turtle dove. And they were divided. And the method of making a contract was both parties to the contract would walk between these animals
yeah.
to seal the contract, the agreement. And Abraham prepared it. It was ready. And then he waited for the Lord to come. The Lord was going to come and enter into a contract with him. And he was going to enter into a contract in the way that they did in those days. The animals were set out. The animals were slain and divided and put out as God had said. He laid each piece one against another. And when the birds of the air, carrion birds, could see all the flesh there, here they come. Oh, you know, the enemy, when he sees something going on that's to do with a bit of life, he wants to come and make it to disrupt it and to make it invalid. And the birds of the air come, and Abraham is there, and he's making sure that they do not take the things that have been laid out. He fends them off. He drove them away. And he kept there until the sun went down, and the birds had gone home. It was getting dark. They disappeared. All the birds were coming. And the sun was going down. It was getting dark. And here's the anaesthetic. A deep sleep fell upon Abraham. God was not going to allow him to enter into this covenant. Because, like you and me, he's a sinner. He's unclean. He's a sinner. This contract that God was going to enter into would be based upon his promise,
yes.
His word,
yes.
Which is inviolable. It cannot be contradicted. It will always be true. And a deep sleep came upon Abraham. Abraham was a sinner. Abraham was a sinner. There could be no perfect contract if Abraham had been part of that as well. This was going to be holy of God. And it says a horror of great darkness came upon Abraham. See, there's an enemy at work. And Abraham's a sinner. And sin brings us into that place of darkness.
Yeah.
God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. But Abraham's a sinner. We're sinners. But as Abraham found out, so we can find out that God's grace and mercy extends to sinful men and women. So that we can receive the blessings of what he has for us. And a deep sleep came upon Abraham. I believe that was from God. And a horror of great darkness. A horror of great darkness. Oh, how the enemy likes to bring an awareness of sin and its consequences.
Yeah.
And there was a horror of great darkness that came upon Abraham. God's grace and mercy was made available to him. Abraham's a sinner. That's why there was that horror of great darkness. But God's mercy abounded. You know, Jesus went to the cross of Calvary for you and for me.
Yes.
He went alone. He went alone. God came alone to Abraham. Jesus went alone to the cross of Calvary. The man, Christ Jesus. He was going to atone for human sin. And I believe that, as Abraham experiences, I believe that when Jesus was on the cross, he experienced that horror of great darkness.
Amen.
Not for him. He had no sin. But he was bearing the sins of the world.
Yes.
I believe that horror of great darkness came upon him, for there was the moment when he cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
That's right.
He wasn't in the place where there is fullness of joy. He wasn't in the place where there was perfect light.
Yes.
Suddenly, God, the Father, was not there. There was sin. Jesus was bearing the penalty for our sin on that cross of Calvary. He experienced more than the bodily, physical agony.
Yes.
He endured that agony in his heart and in his soul. He endured it for you and for me. That horror of great darkness.
Amen.
He suffered and died alone. And then God speaks to Abraham. And he speaks about the promised seed. His descendants, which of course will come through his son Isaac. And he tells Abraham that his descendants that are going to be like the stars of heaven in number, he says, they shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs.
Yes.
Have we become strangers in a land that's not ours? This world is not my home.
Amen.
We're just passing through. And they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. He's talking about the Egyptians.
Yes.
He's telling Abraham what's going to happen to them. They're going to suffer. But in the end, there's going to be glory.
Yeah.
You see, in Hebrews, it tells us how Abraham lived. He was a man of faith. And it says, by faith, Abraham, it's in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country.
Yes.
Dwelling in tabernacles, tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was the man of faith. He got this promise from God. He got this revelation from God about his seed. Not just the son that was going to be his, but those that would descend from him.
Yeah.
And from them, and from them, and from them. There would be a whole multitude, more than you could number. They would go through difficult times. Maybe this was part of the horror of great darkness, I don't know. But Abraham got that revelation from God, that assurance from God, that all things in the end, if he was a man of faith, he would look for that city whose builder and maker is God. God would bring him through more than just this earthly experience, but to a heavenly experience. Praise the Lord. And God gave him the assurance there while he was still unable to partake or participate in what was going on. God gave him the assurance, you will go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. And in the fourth generation, your seed will come back to this land that I've promised. Fourth generation. You listen to the old modern scholars, they don't know what they're talking about. They've got the idea that Abraham's seed were 400 years in the land of Egypt. They weren't. If you read your Bible correctly and you read what Paul says in Galatians, you can get the correct time. And the correct time. Or shall I read Galatians? And in Galatians chapter 3, and this isn't part of the notes, this is sort of just an aside. In verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, to your seed, which is Christ. The promise goes beyond Isaac. The Lord's talking about his son, Jesus Christ, who will suffer and die for us. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect.
Right.
That 430 years begins with Abraham when he's 75 years of age. The 400 years starts after 30 years has elapsed. After 30 years has elapsed, what's happened? Well, 25 years later, he's 100 years old and has a son called Isaac. 5 years later, that son Isaac is weaned. And at that weaning ceremony, Ishmael, the other son of Abraham by the Egyptian, Hagar, starts to persecute Isaac.
Yes.
That's when the clock starts to run for the 400 years. Not when they entered the land of Egypt.
Right.
It starts there. It ends 400 years when they came out of Egypt. It makes a very early date for the Exodus, not the ones that the scholars talk about. So forget about Ramesses. He wasn't even born when they came out of Egypt. He was another pharaoh altogether. Don't believe the modern theologians. Anyway, I won't dwell on that because you might not be up to date with what goes on in those things. All I'm saying is, believe the Bible. Get your information from the Bible. And if you get information from the Bible, you won't get your history wrong.
Right.
And God says to Abraham here, in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. Now, you can find the four generations in the book of Exodus, actually. The four generations, if you start with one of the sons of Jacob that went down into Egypt, Levi, he was born before they actually entered Egypt. Kohath, his son, he was born before they actually entered Egypt.
Yes.
His son was Amram. And he lived for 130 something years. His son was Moses. And he lived for 80 years in Egypt. He lived for 120 years altogether, but 80 in Egypt. There aren't enough years to make up 400 years. There aren't enough years to make up 400 years. There are the four generations from Levi and Kohath, who were born before entering Egypt. And then you've only got Amram and Moses before they leave Egypt. So they were there in Egypt about 215 years. And God brought them out.
Thank you, Lord.
God says 400 years. 400 years. The persecution began with Ishmael, the Egyptian. He was his Egyptian mother got him an Egyptian wife. He was Egyptian. And suddenly, there's the law passing through the creatures that have been sacrificed. The Lord alone is passing through. Not two.
Right.
The Lord alone is passing through. Everything depends on God. Therefore, nothing will fail.
Right.
It was certain. God passes through. And Abraham's aware, when the sun went down, there was a darkness. It was dark. And there's a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. It was the Lord. And in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto your seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates. I don't think, apart from the time of Solomon when they were nearly there, I don't think that's ever yet been fulfilled in its fullness. That they've possessed the land from the river of Egypt, which is not the river Nile, it's one that's closer to the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates.
Iraq.
And you know what's going on there in Iraq at the moment, and in those cases. Everything's, well, one day that's going to be the full possession. It's going to come. One thing is certain, you see. God's promises are sure. God's promises are sure. Absolutely so.
Amen.
God says to Abraham, having passed through those pieces, unto your seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt to the river, great river Euphrates. Jesus went to the cross for us.
Amen.
He suffered that darkness for us. The darkness that fell upon him. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Oh, hallelujah. On the third day,
yes.
He rose again.
Yes.
He rose again. He defeated yes. death. And this is a promise to us today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 it says, and all God's promises
yes.
are yes and amen. Christ Jesus, oh, hallelujah. Abraham went through that situation and that covenant making with God.
Yeah.
It didn't depend upon him because he wasn't part of it.
That's right.
God put him out. It depended on God. What God secured for Abraham, everything has been fulfilled and is still being fulfilled today.
Yes.
When Jesus went to that cross, he died alone for you and for me. It doesn't need any contribution from us, of our works and our trying to please God. Jesus paid the price.
Amen.
The contract is sealed. Jesus paid the price.
Yes.
The covenant is fulfilled. And that we are now beneficiaries of the new covenant
yes.
in Christ Jesus.
The risen Christ.
Hallelujah. He endured the darkness. He endured that separation from the Father. He did it for you and for me. That the covenant might be perfect and sealed and infallible.
Amen.
It will never fail. And all those that come to God through Christ Jesus can have that assurance, blessed assurance,
yes.
of sins forgiven, of eternal life. It will never fail. We might fail. We might make mistakes, but we can always come back to God and that covenant. We can avail ourselves of that covenant,
yes.
which never fails. And when we come to him, if we sin, it says in 1 John chapter 2, we have an advocate with the Father.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who paid the price for us. Hallelujah. God knows what we were like, but now we're new creations in Christ Jesus. Abraham was blessed by God.
Yes.
He knew the fullness of that covenant. And so Abraham became a man of faith.
Yes.
That you can read about in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. We can be men and women of faith. Not depending on our works, but claiming his. And living in him. And he will never fail. And we're passing through. Read Hebrews 11. God promised him that earthly land. But Abraham on his journey was looking for a land beyond that. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God.
Amen.
And we're going on to be with him. I was saying the words of the hymn this morning. And we can sing it just now. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. How about you? Do you know Jesus as your Saviour and Lord this morning?
Amen.
He secured it all for us. Just as God secured everything for Abraham, as hope never fails, and it's still not failing.
Amen.
So Jesus acquired everything for us. Life in all its fullness, life abundant in Christ Jesus. We're just passing through. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, just as Abraham was.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's stand and sing, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. If anybody needs prayer this morning, come to the front, let's pray for you in Jesus' name. And if you're not saved and you want to accept Jesus as Saviour and Lord, come to the front, let's pray with you and accept him into your heart and life. in Jesus' name.